And now, a page from the diary of Flo.
Dear diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am here in my old alma mater. This is weird. I'm here. I was never on campus when I was supposed to be here. And now I'm here on a Sunday, on Super Bowl Sunday of all Sundays. Harrison Fagan is here next to me. He forced me to come here. Harrison, thanks.
Hey, man, if I have to spend hours and hours and hours here and it's close to your house, then you have to come sometimes, too. I can't always drive up to your place.
My house is so much nicer and cooler. It's really hot in here.
I don't know. The newsroom is pretty nice.
So, basically, today's episode, and by the way, before we jump into all that, today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek on the mobile application, SeatGeek.com. It's the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets online. Make sure you're finding our show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Today's show, we are going to talk about D'Angelo Russell's minutes. Apparently, he's going to get more of them. So, fantasy players, rejoice or make a trade for him as soon as you can. And then we are going to talk about trade rumors. And because it is Super Bowl Sunday, we'd be remiss not to figure out a way to tie that back into the Lakers. So, we're going to draft an all-time Lakers football team. We flipped my phone. Before the show.
Very, very high production costs on Locked On Lakers. Sorry to David Locke for that one. Or Anthony's going to need a new phone.
Yeah, it's that was too bad. It was a good phone. I'm going to draft first, and then Harrison's going to draft second because of he called the phone correctly and decided to opt for second pick. We're going to draft a quarterback, two wide receivers, a tight end, and a running back. And you guys are going to vote on which team is going to win. And then because it's Paul Pierce's last game in Boston, we're going to be as disrespectful as we possibly can.
We felt like he deserved a special farewell.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, and we were also going to talk about the Lakers defense somewhere in there and their coach's response to it.
I mean, I feel like it'd be better if we were on video and we could just throw our hands up in the shrug emoji position and that'd be it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So there's our mentions of the Lakers defense.
Go to Silver Screen and Roll for more Lakers coaches baffled by their defense news.
It's one of the better videos you'll see all
year.
It's
pretty great.
All right, so we'll start with D'Angelo Russell's minutes. He's going to get more of them. He deserves them, absolutely. And since he came back from injury, you have the numbers.
Well, you aren't the only one saying so. Luke Walton's exact quote that he told Bill Oram of the Orange County Register was that he's been earning more minutes with his play, honestly. It wasn't intentional, just a credit to the way he's getting after it. And D'Angelo Russell has been getting after it since he came back from his injury to the tune of 19.7 points, 9.7 assists, 6.7 rebounds, and unfortunately 3.7 turnovers, and 32.6 minutes per game since coming back. But almost 20, 10, and 7, just about, if you round up, is... like that, those are pretty good numbers, I'd say.
Those are all-star numbers.
Yeah.
20 and 10 is all-star.
Like, that's better than what I expected for him coming into the season. I don't think that this is going to be sustained. Like, this isn't going to be something that goes on for the rest of the season. Defenses will figure things out. He'll have to make adjustments again. But he's been really, really good. Like, shockingly good, considering he just came back from an injury.
So, I guess we should touch on really quickly what's made him so good. And my theory is a couple things. One, he seems a lot more patient out there. He, you know, before he got hurt, it was either full bore attack or being too passive, right? And in this case, what I've noticed is he's just kind of, he's not deciding before a game that, okay, this game I'm going to attack the rim, you know, to no end. Or, okay, this game I'm going to try to get my teammates involved. He's just kind of saying, I'm taking what the defense gives me, and that's really worked out so far for him.
Well, the interesting thing is that talking to him after their game last weekend when I was there, he was saying that, I asked him about, like, his assist numbers that game, and he had talked about how it just was easier to get those assists and to make those plays when you're attacking. You can't just look for the pass. You have to attack and force mm-hmm. the defense to come after you, and then that opens up teammates. And yeah. I thought that was interesting, and it really plays to his skill set, right? Because he's a great passer when he wants to be, but he's ultimately, I think, his best attribute is going to be his scoring. So when mm-hmm. he's really attacking like that, it's going to set up those passes. He's never going to be a guy that sets up his shooting with the threat of the pass, mm-hmm. a la, you know, like Steve Nash or Chris Paul or yeah. whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes a lot of sense. And then the second thing that I kind of noticed was the screens that the Lakers have been setting for him. Starting with Zubats was the first guy who I really noticed, like, takes guys out.
He's been laying some wood on guys, but mm-hmm. even when he doesn't, he's just so big mm-hmm. that he doesn't set the perfect screen or do the perfect angle, but he's still just hard to get around. Like, yeah. he's a big dude.
And I feel like the coaching staff has made a priority of telling the bigs, hey, really take somebody out with these screens.
That's true. Larry Nance Jr., I forget which Celtic he...
Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Marcus Smart died, so rest in peace, Marcus Smart.
He killed Smart.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and do a Boston accent, but yeah, so Larry Nance Jr. took him out. I've noticed Mozgov has been setting really good mm-hmm. screens. Zubac, it really has been a point of emphasis there. I think it's been like a team-wide game plan of let's try and get him going because we're better when he's playing well, and the numbers kind of reflect that. Since he came back and has been playing well, the team has been, let me look at these numbers...
It's great radio.
Yeah, excuse me. They've been outscored by 2 points per 100 possessions when Russell is on the floor. When he is off the floor, they've been outscored by 13.4. So that's a pretty big difference. I mean, it's not like they're winning games right now while he's in, but that's because they've been losing games over that little uh-huh. stretch. But they're so much better
when he's on the floor. And they've been playing good teams.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they played Washington, who's really good.
Yeah.
Boston has the best record in the East, I think, right? That's why Brad Stevens is coaching the All-Star game.
No, well, the Cavs had the coach last year,
oh,
so that's
okay,
why.
All right.
Yeah.
Either way, though, there's still
Alternative fact, the Celtics have the best record in the East.
I'm all too happy to say that they do not have the best record in the East. Russell's play has made guys like Jose Calderon and even Huertas, who got some minutes, they don't need both of those guys. And the rumor now is that the Cavs are interested in Jose Calderon. But before we get to that, we want to really...
If you want to watch tickets to see Jose Calderon's Lakers farewell tour or D'Angelo Russell playing better...
Probably the former. No.
I don't know. Hey, whatever people want. I don't judge. If you want to go watch Jose, that's all you.
Yep. Jose could be out of there pretty quickly, it sounds like. Either via free agency or via trade. Whatever. But... We want to talk about SeatGeek and the support that they've given us. They've been here from the beginning.
Yeah, right? First sponsor.
They have been here from the beginning. They continue to support us, and I want to make sure our listeners really support them. Use that promo code LLLakers to get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase on SeatGeek. It's just so easy to use the app.
It's not just the rebate. It's mm-hmm. that you can easily do it on your phone, which is convenient for those of us that aren't always at a PC like Anthony and I are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you and I are pretty much, we either are on our phone or PC. Yeah. Yeah, we're attached. But
my wife loves to remind me.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to order tickets on your phone, it's really easy to do that. The online website's really easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a deal score, so it compares it to other tickets and the normal value, so you know how much you're getting. You can get price alerts, which is my favorite feature. You tell the SeatGeek an amount that you're willing to pay, and they'll let you know if tickets are available for that price, mm-hmm. if and when that happens. And it's just overall a great place to use if you want to buy tickets to a game.
And Valentine's Day is coming up. And personally, I don't know about, you know, anybody else who's listening right now, but when my wife asks me, hey, what do you want for Valentine's Day? What do you want for whatever? What do you want? I never really know what to say. I'm always just kind of like, steak, you know? But in this case, because you can use the SeatGeek rebate, you could say, actually, you know what? It'd be fun to go catch a game. And you can buy the ticket. You could get your $20 back using that rebate. And it's a great Valentine's Day.
Maybe even try a Valentine's Day Jumbotron proposal. Not cliched at all. I'm sure she'll love it.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Be better than that. But again, the deal score, the price alerts, all that good stuff. That's on SeatGeek. They're just a great product, and we stand by great products.
A product that is less good that people might be, that apparently some people are interested, Jose Calderon.
Oh, Jose. I think he'd be a good fit in Cleveland. He's nowhere near even as good as, like, Dellavedova was, which is probably not, those two statements kind of play against each other, I would imagine. But I could see why Cleveland would want him. He's a great spot-up shooter. He makes great decisions with the basketball. Well, he was a great spot-up shooter. Maybe not this year, because the opportunities just have not been there this year. Yeah. But I could see why they would hypothetically talk themselves into this guy. And the biggest thing is the return that the Lakers would be asking for is not going to be very much.
No, you wouldn't think so. But the problem is it's hard to find a trade that realistically makes sense. Mm-hmm. The Cavs don't have a lot to give up.
I don't think they have a second rounder to give up until like 2022 or something crazy.
I mean, the Lakers should take whatever they can get, because with the combination of Russell playing well and Calderon just not really having a role anyway, mm-hmm. there's just not a whole lot of points. So if you can get like a third second round pick after you already got two for taking him on, mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But so, David Griffin, if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, thank you. You SeatGeek. Second of all, just like skip the next like 2 to 5 minutes or so of this podcast.
Okay. Bye, David.
All right, we'll talk to you in a second.
Uh-huh. All right.
Is he gone?
I think so.
Okay. So Jose Calderon is shooting the third worst percentage from three-point range of his entire career. He has posted the second worst true shooting percentage of his career. The Lakers are getting outscored by 24.7 points per 100 possessions while he is on the floor. He is turning over the ball a team high 16.9% of his possessions. And yeah, I mean, some of that is on the Lakers don't really have the talent to really like fit around Calderon's game that mm-hmm. would he would be a better fit on the Cavs, who have more finishers and play, and
who also have LeBron James.
Yeah, they also have LeBron, so he could be in more of a spot-up role. Mm-hmm. If he needed to make plays, the Cavs have more shooters than the Lakers do. So he definitely would be better on breaking. A player would be better on a good team than they would be on a bad team. Yeah, it's like real. But I don't know if he's the effing playmaker LeBron feels like he needs right now.
The thing is, and I agree with LeBron that he actually needs another playmaker. Like,
an effing playmaker.
Yes, he needs an effing playmaker. And I would agree, though, because you look at that roster and it's like Kyrie Irving can dribble, LeBron can dribble. And then, like, have you ever watched Richard Jefferson dribble?
You know what? Honestly, I can't recall what that even looks like.
Like, Kevin Love will take maybe two dribbles per possession. Like, nobody else can handle the ball and create for anybody. So,
except for young guy DeAndre Liggins, maybe.
So as soon as Calderon shows up, he would immediately probably be the third best creator on that roster.
So sad.
That's terrible.
Right? Yeah.
And so I could see, and if you're LeBron as the Cavs GM that he is, you're kind of saying, how can
Sorry, David, if you made it back for this part.
David.
Our bad.
We love you.
Just jump out for another couple minutes.
But if you're LeBron and you're looking around the league and you're saying, all right, given the assets that we have to send out, what can we actually realistically acquire? And Calderon kind of fits that mold of, okay, yeah, we don't have to give up much. Maybe he even gets waived. Like John Ireland said on our show a couple weeks ago, if he goes to the Lakers and says, hey, I would like to compete for a title.
Well, that was the interesting thing, was that he said that he doesn't think that the Lakers necessarily want to move on from mm-hmm. him. They value his mentorship, but if he went and asked them for a buyout,
right,
they'd consider it.
Right, and so I could see that happening because of the respect that they apparently have for him. So yeah, there's plenty to look at here. Other guys on the roster, though, that should be moved, you have to start with Lou Williams. You have to.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, I think everybody has gotten into this. Ben Rosales wrote a great piece for Silver Screen & Roll earlier this week on the Lakers' kind of low-key playmaking problem and how Lou kind of exacerbates that, because he's a guy that it's really easy to feed him a bunch of possessions, but it's taking away from the young guys to a degree. It's like, I'd much rather see Jordan Clarkson as that backup point guard and see what he can, and see if maybe he can rediscover a little bit of that playmaking, because the player he is this year is just, that's not as valuable to the Lakers long term as what they thought they were getting. He's just been a relatively inefficient kind of gunner because he doesn't get really an opportunity to make plays.
Yeah, and the other thing too, like, we've already talked about, you know, the empty stats that Lou Williams provides, right? And the Boston game was fun late because he just went nuts again in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. I think either of us deny that.
No, not at all. And so, but what I do think though is, not only is it empty from the Lakers standpoint, because it should be a young kid who's trying to keep them in these games, even if the Lakers lose, so they lose to the Celtics by, what was it, 6 points? And let's say that 6 point deficit or that 6 point loss turns into like a 12 point loss. I'm fine with that because it's the young guys who are learning, who are taking these reps in late in these games. And it's obviously empty from the Lakers standpoint there. It's empty from Lou Williams standpoint because he's saying, man, I could be scoring on a playoff caliber team. And the last couple of years of my, what looks to be his prime, are kind of being wasted here, scoring in these losses that you know, nobody's going to remember anyway.
Yeah, it's just too bad the Cavs really have absolutely nothing. Because it would be awesome to get Lou on that team and see if we can get Lou a ring.
Yeah. And, you know, David Griffin, to his credit, somehow turned Mike Dunleavy into Kyle Korver. So you never know what trades might actually go down, but we do know that the Lakers historically probably overvalue their guys.
Maybe they miss Timo too, and you send them Lou and Timo for some Love. Type of. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's make it happen. No, yeah. I mean, yeah, like.
There's nothing.
It's just hard to find a trade package.
Yeah. So
that would actually work under the CBA.
So I mean, there are teams out there. I talked about Utah last time we talked about the situation. I talked about Orlando, though. Orlando now, it looks like they're moving Serge Ibaka. They're trying to move Serge Ibaka, so they are definitely not in win now mode. That kind of takes them out of the Lou Williams sweepstakes. Boston kind of makes sense for them because they lack shooting the way they do. You know, there are teams, there are playoff caliber teams who. He's not going to make anybody a title contender, but he's going to make series that those teams end more interesting.
Yeah.
And so that would be the point there. The next guy, who would you say is the next guy on your list of Lakers who should get traded?
I mean, those are the main two. It's like we always come back to Nick Young, but I just realistically don't see a return for him. I don't see really a rental. I mean, the Lakers should be trying to probably move on from Mozgov or Dang in these deals, but that's not realistic either.
They have to give up an asset to do it.
Yeah, exactly. They haven't played well enough to warrant that. I mean, some people have talked about Tarik Black. Because Zubac has kind of forced his way into the rotation, and that's made Black slightly more superfluous. But I don't really see the package that makes sense. So like, I think Lou is the main guy that has some value, but it's also just hard to find the team that wants to trade for him.
And since we've started talking about, you know, maybe moving on from Black, you have to admit that Zubac has taken a bit of a step back. Minutes, whatever, but
The last two games, he just hasn't been as good out there.
Mm-hmm. So,
That's what you expect.
Yep, and by having Black on the team, it kind of, you know, mitigates the ups and downs you're going to see from a 19-year-old.
There's a bit of a security blanket there, for sure.
And, you know, maybe Thomas Robinson, but again, what are you going to get for the guy? There's really nothing you're going to get. I have a question for you, though. Let's say, so the Lakers took on 2 second-round picks to take Jose Calderon this year, right?
Yes.
Let's say a team comes to the Lakers and says, tie an asset to Luol Deng, tie an asset to Timofey Mozgov, and we'll take on that contract. How big an asset would it have to be for you to even consider it? Like, if it's 2 second-rounders, if it's, I don't think.
Oh, 2 second rounders, I think you have to do that.
Do it in a second?
Yeah.
First, future first?
That's tough. Man, you know, honestly, I think you might have to do that if a team's willing to do it.
Here's the reason I would
because
agree.
Because you hope that the Lakers aren't that bad by the time that the first, because they can't give up a first rounder until, you know, for several more years.
2021.
I think 2021 or 2022.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if the front office, if whether you think Magic is the solution or whether you think Jim Buss and Kupchak are going to figure this out or whether you think whoever comes in this summer to replace them possibly is going to be the one to figure it out. I mean, you have to hope, if you're a Lakers fan, that the team's first-round pick in 2022
won't
is going
be
to be
the,
a crappy pick.
Yeah.
And so, again, maybe that doesn't entice a team that much for that reason, but, yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, if you can do that, then you probably have to do it.
The other reason I would do it, too, and I don't know, I mean, maybe I have this wrong, and that's why we haven't heard as much about it, but the Lakers, this might be their last summer to really have an impact on free agency.
Yeah.
Because the kids are going to start getting
their
extensions
start hitting year after year. Randall is next summer, mm-hmm. and then Russell, and then Ingram. And all those guys, if you think the Lakers made the right choice, are going to be in for... I mean, either way, they haven't been bad enough that they're not going to be kind of max contract or close to it guys.
Well,
not real max, but like max rookie extension, which is significantly less than the actual max.
But it's still... It's not insignificant money.
No, it adds up quickly.
And so, you know, this is the last year where the Lakers will be able to go out.
And even even Larry Nance Jr., mm-hmm. they're probably going to want to extend. Who mm-hmm. knows what they do with Black after this summer? Probably not going to be back. And if he is, probably not as expensive as he was this year.
Mm-hmm.
But
isn't he signed a 2 year? The second year's non-guaranteed.
Yeah,
I think.
Or it might be, it's either a team option or it's non-guaranteed. I always get confused on that.
if you could somehow tie, you know, maybe it's a future first rounder alongside
Would you give up any member of the young core in order to move him?
I mean, you'd have to get something back.
Yeah.
More than just cap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I haven't even thought about those trades, to be completely honest, but... you'd have to get like a significant piece coming back, and by that I mean somebody who can contribute now.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't think the contract is bad enough that you actually want to attach one of these current guys that you have mm-hmm. in order to move it.
Yeah, but it's an interesting question. Let us know in our comments. Hit @LockedOnLakers on Twitter and tell us what you think. Send an email or whatever to anthony.f.irwin@gmail.com or whatever your email might be. Let us know what you guys think. Any other trade stuff that you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that about does it for me in trades. I think it's time to talk about the draft, the most important draft.
Yes.
Our football draft.
We all have our first round picks, so that's fun.
Yeah, you and me, we have all our draft picks. We have smart management on our part.
All right, so the way this is going to work, I'm going to draft second. It's a snake draft. Harrison's going to take the second and third pick. I'm going to draft fourth, then fifth, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
With the first pick in
I think I know who you're taking.
Potentially annual, maybe if we remember it next year, we'll make this an annual thing. But
if we haven't been canceled.
With the first pick, I'm taking Magic Johnson to be
that's who I was going
to take. To be my quarterback. So Magic,
okay.
I'm really thrilled with that pick. In these like snake drafts where it's just two people, you have to nail that first pick.
That's he would have been my first pick. That was my biggest worry about giving you the first, but I wanted to get second and third.
Yep. All right.
So I'm gonna go Kobe at wide receiver.
Kobe at wide receiver.
Yeah, for my first pick. I think it's obvious. I mean, he's talked about how in the past, like, he would have tried to be Randy Moss. Although
have you
I feel
seen
like
him
all
catch
players,
a football?
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's an insane athlete. He probably could have been a wide receiver if he wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
And so that's always the cliche with any good scorer or whatever. It's like, oh, he could go on the NFL and be a tight end. Remember Antonio Gates?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we got him. And then not current Meta World Peace, but, like, Meta World Peace back when he was on the Lakers, like, title contending teams. I want that guy as my tight end. Like,
that's
he had insane hands. And he could also block.
Yeah.
Because he was physical.
He would mangle dudes.
Yeah.
All right. My my second pick, the, where are we now, fourth pick overall, I'm going to take Shaq as my running back.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Yeah. Nobody's tackling that guy.
Yeah.
So Shaq is my running back. And for wide receiver, I'm going to go with James Worthy.
Wait, you get the next pick too?
Yeah, it's
oh, is that how it
it's
works?
It's a snake both ways.
I don't know how a snake works.
I'm going to go James Worthy for my first wide receiver.
Okay.
All right, you got the next two.
All right, I think I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm going to go with a recent one. I'm going to go with Randall at running back.
Oh, he'd have been good at tight end too. But
because I mean, like, guys bounce off him in the NBA. All
he's
the time,
faster than
so.
Shaq, so that's that's probably a pretty good one.
I'll go with Randall as running back,
and you have a wide receiver.
I got a wide receiver and a quarterback. Let me see. Who do I want as my wide receiver? Man, I'm under the gun. I should have thought a little bit more about this because now we end up may end up having to edit this part out. But where I just can't even think of a Laker that I'd want as my wide receiver.
Really? Like, you can't think of any wings right now?
No, I'm having a hard time.
Any wings? Like I'm not going to give you any picks.
Yeah,
but
honestly,
think of
Worthy,
shooting guards and small forwards.
Honestly, Worthy was going to be my guy, and like, and I just kind of I ran out of brain space, I guess.
Would you like to trade this pick and then and take my first pick in the next one?
Yeah, I'll trade my pick.
All right, so with my pick, I'm going to take Robert Horry is my tight end.
Okay, that's not a bad pick.
He's a big frame, big dude. I have a big team. Magic is a 6'9" quarterback. All right, have you had enough time to think about this yet?
Not really. All right, but I'm gonna instead. I was gonna save this one for my last pick,
all right.
But actually, you know what? I'll go with Elgin Baylor, wide receiver.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. All right.
And then you're gonna love my last pick.
I know what it's gonna be, and I'm already angry about it.
You ready for this?
Well, I guess I technically should go next, but you can go ahead.
No, because we traded picks.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go with Ronnie Price. I feel like nobody knows how to get the ball to Kobe better than he has that ingrained in him at this point. So he's not a guy that's going to blow you away with the deep ball or anything, but he's a game manager, okay? It's like the Alex Smith of point guards.
I was anticipating Jerry West.
I know you were anticipating, but I had to go with the Jerry West stopper. Trademark Anthony Irwin.
All right, with my pick here, I'm going to go with Wesley Johnson is my wide receiver.
Okay, I didn't have the worst pick. All right, I'm happy now.
Dude, have you seen the kind of athleticism that guy has?
Yeah, but have you seen how Wesley Johnson is perpetually disappointing?
That's also a good point. Well, he was the last. He was the. What's the last pick in every pick?
Mr. Irrelevant.
Yep, there you go. There's nobody less relevant than
all right,
Wesley
so let's
Johnson.
See. Well, so our teams are Anthony has Magic at quarterback. His two wide receivers are James Worthy and Wesley Johnson. Tight end Robert Horry and running back is Shaq.
Yep.
And so my team is Ronnie Price at quarterback, Kobe and Elgin Baylor are wide receivers, MWP at tight end, although I guess like I was taking Ron Artest, it was before he was MWP. But and then Randall at running back. So let us know at Locked On Lakers who you think had the better team.
I'll take a picture of this paper and then we'll send it out.
We'll tweet
Locked
it
On
out. Yeah.
So once the show goes live. All right. Paul Pierce plays his last game in Boston today, and I figured we'd have a moment of silence for the farewell tour that he totally deserves. Absolutely 100% deserves.
Hilariously took shots at Kobe last year for not wanting a farewell tour, and then it's like hamming it up in Boston today.
He kissed out the leprechaun.
Yeah, he's like handing out like 34 headbands and like they're playing a tribute. But no, it's not a farewell tour. Those are embarrassing. Mm-hmm.
I really hope, because you know how sometimes basketball players will like spit on the ground and like get some extra traction on their shoes. I hope somebody spit like right before, like on that exact spot where he kissed the leprechaun. And
I guarantee you the Lakers' last coach did before he walked out of the arena last year, as tradition dictates.
That would be great. That would be the best thing that last coach did in his entire tenure as Lakers head coach. What's your favorite Paul Pierce memory?
You know, most people would say the wheelchair thing, but I'm going to go with the rocket, with his inability to use social media. When they had the emoji wars over DeAndre Jordan, he tweeted out a picture of a rocket emoji and, you know, constantly using, like, watermarked Getty images for his throwback Thursdays and just playing up the old man image. You know, I got to say, honestly, I loved it when he was with the Wizards and he was trolling the crap out of Toronto and declaring himself the real king of the North. That was a lot of fun. Otherwise, you know, all due hatred to Paul Pierce.
Yeah. My favorite memory of Paul Pierce is his current time with the Clippers, where he's completely useless. And it's been great to see how terrible he's been. That's what you get for hanging around just so you aren't in a super Hall of Fame class with Tim Duncan.
Oh, stay woke.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce. All right.
That's exactly what he's doing. He had Kobe, Duncan, and Garnett in the same one. And he's going to show up there with his raspy ass voice. Ugh. As you can tell, I really like Paul Pierce.
Yeah.
I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Enjoy your Super Bowl festivities. By the time you guys are actually going to listen to this, it'll be the next day afterwards.
Yeah,
you
probably have already enjoyed your Super Bowl festivities. This helped you recover from your Super Bowl festivities.
Enjoy your Super Bowl hangover. Because I'm probably planning on having one tomorrow. So
and who you got? I don't watch football, so I don't really feel that qualified to pick this. But just to embarrass you, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Atlanta, because I hate everything Boston, and I actually think Atlanta has a better chance against them. Belichick won't know what to take away, the running back or the wide receivers.
All right, let Anthony know if he's brilliant or an idiot on Twitter today.
Oh, I'm pretty much guaranteed to be an idiot. I just gave the Patriots a Super Bowl. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you're using that promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek.com and on the mobile application to get your $20 rebate on your first purchase using the app. Again, fastest and easiest way to buy tickets online. Make sure you're finding our show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Have a good rest of your weekend. We'll talk to everybody again on Tuesday. And shouts to Jordan Farmer, also potential future
superstar guy. Cavs playmaker workout audition guy.